भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Not sure. Okay. Actually, this is the last slide, I think. Let's see if we could start from the beginning. Sorry, guys, getting a sneak preview here. Okay. So, reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the 8th canto, chapter 20, texts 16 to 20. So what I'll do is I'll read 16 to 18, and then we'll read 19 together. And then 20 doesn't have any purport either, and it relates, so I'll just read that too. So today we're going to discuss Arjavam, which is a quality of a devotee. It's a quality of Krishna, and it's one that we should develop, everyone should develop. And that is simplicity, straightforwardness, honesty, purity. So today's verse, I'll just chant this one.
Evam sapta swaguruna satyanna chalito mahan vamanaya dadavenam archit vodaka purvakam.
Sukadev Goswami continued, even after being cursed in this way by his own spiritual master, Bali Maharaj, being a great personality, never deviated from his determination. Therefore, according to custom, he first offered water to Vamanadev, and then offered him the gift of land he had promised.
Vindyavalisthadagatya Patni Jalaka Molini Aninye kalasam haimam avane jani apam pritam.
Bali Maharaj's wife, known as Vindyavali, who was decorated with a necklace of pearls, immediately came and had a large golden water pot brought there, full of water with which to worship the Lord by washing his feet.
Yajamana swayam tasya srimatpada yugam muda avani javahan murdini tadapo vishva pavani.
Bali Maharaj, the worshipper of Lord Vamanadev, jubilantly washed the Lord's lotus feet and then took the water on his head, for that water delivers the entire universe. Okay, I think this is today's verse. Let's chant it together.
Tadasarendram Divi Devata Gana. Tadasarendram Divi Devata Gana. Gandharva Vidyadhara Siddha Charna Gandharva Vidyadhara Siddha Charanaha Tat Karma Sarve Pi Grinanta Arjavam. Tat Karma Sarve Pi Grinanta Arjavam. Prasuna Varshar Vavrishur Udanvitaha Prashuna Varshar Vavrishur Mudanvitaha Tadasurendram Divi Devatagana Gandharva Vidyadada Siddha Charanaha Tatkarma Sarve Pi Grinanta Arjavam Prashuna Varshar Vavrishur Mudan Vitaha Tadasurendram Divi Devatagana Gandharva Vidyadara Siddha Charanaya Tat Karma Sarve Pi Grinanta Arjavam Prasuna Varshar Virishur Mudan Vitaha
Vaishnavis, okay. Tada. At that time, Asura Indram, unto the king of the demons, Bali Maharaj, Divi, in the higher planetary system, Devata Gana, the residents known as the demigods, Gandharva, the Gandharvas, Vidyadara, the Vidyadaras, Siddha, the residents of Siddhaloka, Charanaha, the residents of Charanaloka, Tat, that, Karma, action,
Sarveapi.
All of them.
Grinantaha.
Declaring.
Arjavam.
Plain and simple.
Prasunavarshai.
With a shower of flowers.
Varishu.
Released.
Muda anvitaha.
Being very pleased with him. Translation. At that time, the residents of the higher planetary system, namely the demigods, the Gandharvas, the Vidyadharas, the Siddhas, and the Charanas, all being very pleased by Bali Maharaj's simple, non-duplicitous act, praised his qualities and showered upon him millions of flowers. So a purport. Prabhupada stresses this word, Arjavam. It's good, it's important. Again, Arjavam, which means simplicity or freedom from duplicity, is a qualification of a Brahmana and a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava automatically acquires all the qualities of a Brahmana. Yashasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana sarvargunas tatras samasate suraha. That's from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 18th chapter, text 12. A Vaishnava should possess the brahminical qualities such as satya, sama, dhamma, titiksha, and arjava. There cannot be any duplicity in the character of a Vaishnava. When Bali Maharaj acted with unflinching faith and devotion unto the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, this was very much appreciated by all the residents of the higher planetary system. So let's go to the next verse. Nedu mohur dundu bilya sahasraso gandharva kimpurusha kinara jagu manasvinanena kritam sudushkaram vidvana dadyad ripave jagat trayam. The Gandharvas, the Kimpurushas, and the Kanaras sounded thousands and thousands of kettle drums and trumpets again and again, and they sang in great jubilation, declaring, how exalted a person is Bali Maharaj, and what a difficult task he has performed. Even though he knew that Lord Vishnu was on the side of his enemies, he nonetheless gave the Lord the entire three worlds in charity. Om Gyana Tamadandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshus Unmitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upakadamayam Dadanti Svapadantikam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadhara Srivasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakopa Tubhyascha, Kripa Sindhu Bhavacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So, what a great devotee Bali Maharaj, and he's being glorified by the great personalities. Here we see difficult task. His spiritual master is there, instruct him in one way, but yet, because he's very simple and straightforward, Arjavam, he didn't go on his word. He said that he would give him in charity, but his spiritual master was explaining to him that actually he got very logical, very mental, very complicated in trying to get out of his just a simple, straightforward offer to give him three paces of land, but he tried to talk him out of it in so many crooked ways or complicated ways. But as we see here, Bali Maharaj was very Arjavam. He was very simple, and he's praised now and glorified by the personalities, the heavenly planets, all the great demigods. And personalities, they're praising him for what such a wonderful act, even though he knew that Balimar was just going to give everything to his enemies, the demigods. Still, he kept his promise. So there's a wonderful temple in, it's called the Zivalaji Temple in India. And Krishna comes. He leaves these great personalities, the demigods. We just finished the pastime of the churning of the ocean and all the demigods appearing and appealing to the Lord and all the demons appealing to the Lord. And they want to get something. So the Lord is dealing with them in a very, what could you say, formal way. He's giving them what they're asking for. He's providing in so many different ways. And these demons, these demigods and demons are such great personalities. But yet the Supreme Lord appears in this world, the earth planet, which the demigods don't even consider worthy of coming here. But yet the Lord comes here and he associates with common people, simple people of India. And there's some wonderful stories about that here related to the Balaji Temple, that there was one cobbler who was always thinking of the Lord, meditating on, I wish I could serve the Lord by making him some shoes, but I don't know his shoe size, his foot size. So he was praying like that. So the Lord appeared to him and gave him his footprint, and he was very pleased, and he brought the shoes to the temple when he finished. But when he came there, you know, because he was raggedy and dirty, the Brahmins there and everybody kicked him out and, you know, threw him away, threw him out. But yet he was, today, because of that simple offering, I think those shoes are still in the temple. But there's actually a moth where he created those. And then even today, there's a, they serve the deities. This is the richest temple, actually, in all of India. I mean, they could offer Krishna food in golden plates or diamond plates if they wanted to. But yet, they offer all the boga in clay pots. And the reason for that is because there was a simple, another simple devotee who made these pots with such devotion for Krishna that Krishna said, I will not accept any boga unless they're from this pot. So that's why they still today they offer all the boga in these clay pots. So it's nice. And then there's another simple brahmana, or I don't know if he was a brahmana, but just a simple devotee of Krishna. He was meditating on, I want to play chess with Krishna. So he's thinking, okay, I'll play chess in his mind, and he's playing chess with Krishna, and he was making his move, and then he made a move for Krishna, and then, you know, he would actually offer to move for Krishna. Move his. So anyway, he was playing like this, and Krishna actually appeared before him and started to play with him. And then Krishna was so pleased, he left his diamond necklace with him. And then he didn't realize, but then he noticed it was there, and he said, oh, I should return this. Krishna forgot this. So he came back to the temple, and they noticed that the deity's diamond necklace was missing, and he was bringing it back, and they thought he stole it, so they started to beat him, and they actually jailed him. But yet the king got a dream that actually this is my devotee, and I gave him my necklace. So, free him. So we may think, you know, this is Krishna, he's associated with all the demigods. Or we may think we're very paka or proper in our brahminical activities, in our sadhana. But yet these are simple devotees that maybe not even following the principles. I mean, you could see his chess is gambling. You know, a cobbler is probably dealing with leather and so many different things. These simple personalities, but yet Krishna is very pleased by that devotion. So this is simple, simple-minded. Not simple-minded, but simplest, simple, straightforward, and working without diplomacy. So this is Krishna's pastimes, how he comes to this planet, which is condemned by the demigods. There was one, I heard a devotee tell this once, it's kind of a joke story. And there's a devotee wakes up in the morning, and he prays to Krishna, thank you for, you know, that I'm alive today, and that I could go on living this day. And then what he does is take a shower so that everyone else can live with him. So just as an idea that, you know, we were praying to Krishna to live, but yet we take a shower so that others may live because we're so contaminated. You could imagine, sometimes we have gatherings, people that haven't taken a shower for a while, you know, just like they really, you can't live in that room. You can't live there. So yet Krishna comes to this place and he's merely attracted to devotion. There's also a nice story about being complicated. You know, they have the bull that here it's used to crush sugarcane, but they use them to also, this in the same way, they grind the grains and they make oil and different things like that. So there's one farmer, he was very, simple. So he thought, I'll put a bell on his neck. And in that way, I could sit here, relax. And if the bell stops, I know that the bull is not working. So I'll get up and make him work. So he put the bell there. And then there was this logician, this smart personality, Brahman, I guess you could say, a pundit. He comes in and says, oh, why did you put that bell on the bull? And he says, oh, because that way I'll know if he stops working, the bell will stop, and then I'll make him work again. And then the logician says, oh, but what if the bull stops working and just shakes his head? How are you going to know if he's working? And then the farmer says, oh, he's just a simple bull. He's not complicated like you. So in the same way, we have to be simple and not analyze everything. You know, like we think, oh, I have to read so many books. I have to understand so many things. But yeah, actually, we don't need to read so many books. Srila Prabhupada gave us only a few books to read. And all the essence of the Vedic literatures is there. And we don't have to get too complicated in trying to understand so many different things, analyze things. They say too much analysis causes paralysis. So this is what happens. We get too complicated. So this word, Arjavam, is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita several times. In the items of knowledge, it's one of the items of knowledge, simplicity. Means that without diplomacy, one should be straightforward, that he can disclose the truth even to his enemy. And this is what Bali Maharaj did. Even though his enemies were getting the benefit, he didn't care. He just kept his promise. And then also, it talks about the austerities pertaining to the body. It's actually an austerity that we should perform with the body. We should worship the Lord, the spiritual master, the brahmanas, superiors like father, mother, cleanliness, simplicity. This is the austerity of the body. Cleanliness, celibacy, and nonviolence. So this is where we should become simple in our behavior. And that means that we don't do anything that's not sanctioned by the scriptural injunctions. That's being simple. We don't try to get complicated and try to analyze and like a lawyer trying to get, something, analyze the law so you could take advantage of the law. So many different ways. And then also it describes, as mentioned, I think Prabhupada mentioned how the qualities of a brahmana is that he's peaceful, self-control, pure, tolerant, honest. This is the Arjavam. So these are the natural qualities by which the Brahmins work. But as Prabhupada mentioned, a Vaishnava is automatically a Brahmana. And the Vaishnavas, they're simply interested in pleasing Krishna. There's another quote that's similar to the one in the Bhagavad Gita. It's in the Muktapala Jika. And it's almost the same verse. But it says, mental equilibrium, sense control, austerity, cleanliness, tolerance, simplicity, detachment, theoretical and practical knowledge, satisfaction, truthfulness, and firm faith in the Vedas are the 12 qualities of a brahmana. So this is described in the Bhagavad Gita. It's described many places in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the qualities of devotee. It mentions all these different qualities of Krishna actually in the Bhagavatam. And that is one of the qualities. There's mentioned like 40 different qualities of Krishna, but it's described how Krishna has unlimited qualities. Just like the waves in the ocean. It's unlimited. But yet one of these qualities that Krishna has is straightforwardness, is simplicity. And it mentions also, these are mentioned so throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's described that everyone should develop this simple idea. We should be simple in thought, we should be simple in feeling, and be satisfied in the body and mind. So this is the general qualification of a human being, not just a brahmana. It's described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the qualities of a human being, Narada Muni gives, and that's one of them. So we should develop all those. So if we become a devotee of the Lord, then automatically you develop all these good qualities. There's that verse, Yashati Bhaktir Bhagavati Akinchana, that one who has unflinching faith, unflinching devotional service in Krishna, all the good qualities of Krishna and the demigods are consistently manifest in that person. So even Lord Chaitanya came to teach that we should develop these qualities of simplicity. And he taught that to his followers. And he himself showed that. He was just simply interested in glorifying Krishna. Simply interested in pastimes of Krishna. Simply interested in following the orders of his spiritual master even, which was described with simplicity. And he also came to teach that in this age, the process of sacrifice is the Harinama Harinama, Harinama Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva Nasteva, Nasteva Gatir Anyati. So this is Lord Chaitanya, that in this age of Kali, there is no alternative. There is no alternative, there is no alternative for spiritual progress except the holy name of the Lord. So this is Krishna. There is a decline. He came to this planet also because sometimes in the prison there's mishap and the Lord comes himself to straighten out things and also how to get out of that, get purified. So whenever there's a decline in religion and irreligion is prominent, Krishna comes himself. That's also described in the Bhagavad Gita. So we see the Chaitanya Charitamrita in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Haridas Thakur is shown as one of the personalities with all good qualities. And he showed his simplicity, not double-minded, cripple-minded, or ulterior motives in his devotional service, to where he became so powerful and so focused that he was able to even defeat the glaring personality, attractive personality of Maya herself, Maya Devi. So this is the power. You know, it's not that just because you're simple, straightforward, that you're just taken advantage of, but no, you become the most powerful personality because you're fixed on Krishna. Another devotee, it's described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, is Prahlad Maharaj, and he has all good qualities, and he's praised because of his qualities of simplicity, tolerance, devotion to Krishna. And despite so much harassment and abuse, he didn't waver from his devotion to Krishna. So he became very dear. And in the fifth canto and in the seventh canto, wonderful prayers by Prahlad Maharaj describing how we should take shelter of Krishna and develop all the good qualities. And it doesn't matter if you're a great personality and you don't have good qualities, then, you know, it's useless practically. So he said that may there be peace throughout the entire universe, and all envious persons think of other people's welfare. So it's very simple. Just care for others. Simply, don't just care and for yourself, thinking that, you know, I have to make such arrangements and duplicity so that I could cheat others in order for me to gain. But no, if we just think of everyone's welfare, then it would be a very peaceful society. So even Prahlada Maharaj taught that simply give up this demoniac mentality to enjoy and just, you know, chant, glorify Krishna, become focused on Krishna. This was his teachings. There's a nice statement that just as the aquatics, they very much like to be in the water. They enjoy that. So similarly, the devotees, they very much like to be in the association of other devotees, association of Krishna and in devotional service. And that's where they get that ocean of nectar, the bhakti rasa rita sindhu. To describe how the Ganges, after repeated bathing and worshipping, we get purified from diseases and we also get relieved of our sins. So that takes repeated effort. But simply by the dust of the feet of a devotee or the water from the devotee, we could get purified. There's that nice verse, Bhakta Pada Duli Ada Bhakta Pada Jala Bhakta Bhukta Avasesha Tina Mahabala. That the dust of the feet of a devotee, the water that has washed his feet of a devotee, and the remnants of food left by a devotee are three very powerful substances. So there's a nice verse how there's no meditation that is better than meditating on the lotus feet of the Lord. It can get the highest benefits. So also meditating on the feet of a devotee also. This is Sri Sri Rukmini Dwarkadish's lotus feet. So we're in this material world. It's described to be like a banyan tree. And we are trying to enjoy the fruits of the results of this tree. There's many leaves, there's many fruits, so many different things. But these cause a great entanglement in this world. So many different things, even the Vedic hymns, economic development, religiosity, sense gratification. But simply by taking shelter of the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, instructions of the pure devotees, then we can actually understand how to get free from these knots, from these winding things, and actually end up getting out of this prison house of the material world and go back to the spiritual world with Krishna. This is the mercy of the devotee. And we see the example of Lakshmi. She's very much serving Krishna in awe and reverence at his chest of Lord Vishnu. But yet she comes and humbly wants to take shelter at the lotus feet, just like Tulsi does. So she very humbly shares that position with Tulsi Devi. But yet still, because of her mood of awe and reverence, she could not enter into the rasa dance with the gopis because of their simple love for Krishna. So here it is. As in the beginning picture showed the gopis doing very simple chores, simple work for Krishna. You see them churning butter, carrying cow dung on their heads, very simply serving Krishna. But yet that simplicity is a very tall order. And that's something that we should strive for as devotees. We should become very simple and serve Krishna. Krishna consciousness is simple for the simple, and it's very difficult for the complicated. So this is our philosophy, right? Simple living, high thinking. So thank you very much. Any comments or questions or realizations? All right, and now then, thank you for your kind attention. All glories to the Srimad Bhagavatam. Jai Namah Shivaya.